We're talking with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, a special day for you, your family, for Oklahoma agriculture. Kind of, I guess, celebrating your chairmanship over the 4 years that you were chair of the House Ag Committee with this official portrait being unveiled today. Your thoughts about this whole process that, you know, as you reflect back on your time as chairman of the committee?
Well, of course, Ron, it's a compliment to have your friends help put together this program, to pay for the painting, to know that it becomes a part of the permanent historic art collection of the United States House. But that said, this portrait to me reflects not only 4 years as a chairman of the committee, 2 years as a ranking member, a decade and a half as a member, toiling very hard there, trying to make sure that American agriculture, that the Oklahoma perspective be reflected in what this committee does, and for that matter, this body. So I'm very proud. All my friends and old colleagues and a few of my neighbors who've come to this, it's very kind of them. But we still have some challenges, and we'll still work forward in that regard. But it is a very special day. My family's here. My mother's here. Folks who don't come to this town very often.
And, of course, a little bit of humidity here, too, I guess, today. But let's talk about this 2014 farm law. It's been pretty well fully implemented now. There's still a few things around the edges being worked on. But you've had a chance to see how farmers elected, and they went pretty heavily with the ARC part of the safety net. Does that diminish in your mind what you did to insist on the PLC?
No, Ron. The key point in the 2014 Farm Bill was to give people options and to try and write a bill with the acknowledgement that perhaps this five-year Farm Bill might be the farm bill for 10 or 15 or 20 years to come. We've come off a period of record high crop prices. ARC works better than that. But if we're really into some kind of a readjustment as we went through in the 70s and 80s or the 20s and 30s, we're going to have more choices. 5 years from now, when it's time to re-sign, my producers, my neighbors, will have the option of either once again ARC or PLC, and they'll make the decision best for them in that circumstance. But that's what this was all about, giving producers enough options, enough ability to layer those options, to tailor something that would enable them to survive. It's kind of like I've discussed it many times before on crop insurance, which is a never-ending battle here in the United States Congress. I remind people, the only folks that care about crop insurance are your landlord, your banker, your spouse, and your father-in-law. Other than those four people, nobody cares whether you have crop insurance or not. But last track I had, you need all four of those wonderful people supporting you, working with you, helping you. That's kind of like the Farm Bill, making sure the options are there so that producers can make wise decisions based on prices and circumstances, conditions, crops that they choose to raise at that time. It's in their best interest and the best interest of their family. If we never write another Farm Bill, and I'm very worried that may be the case, then we had to write a farm bill in 2014 that would stand the test of time. I think the potential is there. Now, that said, economics and political policy and the federal budget are kind of like the weather in Oklahoma. It can be awfully fickle, and it can change dramatically from one minute to the next. That's why we have to be able to protect ourselves with these options.
Now, your cohort on the other side of the aisle, Mr. Peterson, has been quoted, in fact, as saying this could be a 20-year Lucas bill.
Yeah. Yeah, Colin said that, and when he and I worked together in putting the bill through the legislative process, that was in the back of our minds. What if we can't ever write a new farm bill? What if we have to extend what we have as the only option? We wanted that to be a good option, not a bad option, and I think that is a good option. Colin was a pleasure through the process. Now, he comes from the far northern part of the kind of borderline plains area up in Minnesota. He has different issues and occasionally too much water, and in much of the 3rd District of Oklahoma, we never have enough water. But he has been, over the course of my time, either being his ranking member or him being mine, a pleasure to work with. And that's what you've got to have. The Congress has slipped more and more into this zone of everyone wants it their way or no other way. Mm-hmm. That's not how you achieve consensus. Now, some people say compromise is a dirty word, but consensus about what the best common good is. The 2014 Farm Bill, the Agricultural Act, basically demonstrated in a 4-year period when consensus couldn't seem to be achieved on anything else, that we could do it on foreign policy. And, Ron, in the hallways of Congress, once you get away from the appropriations process, the actual implementation of the bill is very quiet. Most producers have gone through the challenging process of learning it, making their decisions, and are starting to work within those guidelines. Sure. That's a positive thing. Good news travels very slowly. Bad news moves at the speed of light, and right now must be pretty good news out in the countryside.
Right. You talk about compromise. Kind of relates back to, I guess, one of the more famous comments from one of your predecessors, that the art of the possible, I believe that Mr. De La Garza always talked about.
You bet. The art of the possible. You have to do what is possible. That this is an art, not a science, this legislative process. And Mr. De La Garza was exactly correct. He was my first chairman to serve under on the House Agriculture Committee, a kind of a crusty old South Texan. He was wonderful, long since retired from Congress. We have a whole new generation of Ag Committee members coming up on the committee. A big turnover in membership, as we've had in the entire United States Congress. A big part of the challenge, though, in that, for all of us up here and everyone back home, make sure that these brand new members understand there's something called production agriculture. Make sure they understand that processing is important. Make sure they understand that rural America is not just a small concept, but it feeds us, it clothes us, it helps make sure we meet our energy needs. We can't survive without what rural America and production agriculture does. We cannot survive.
My last question, as far as, you know, you served 2 years as ranking member, then 4 years as the chair. Is that the way to do it? Now, the Republicans have adopted that direction of term-limiting leadership. Democrats have not done that up here, so Mr. Peterson has stuck around in that leadership a lot longer. Which way, you know, what's good and bad about how this has worked?
I understand the difference between the model when I arrived here, which was what I refer to as the Speaker Rayburn model. Strong committee chairman, experienced, long-term hands, people who are in a position to fully understand and grasp all the issues and the policy implications and the past history. In some ways, they kind of protected the membership from the leadership and the leadership from membership. In what we have used now, both under Democrats and Republicans since 1995, the model I will call the Gingrich model, which is on the Republican side using term limits and other tools to weaken the chairman, to give more authority to the leadership, and to a degree more authority to the rank and file membership, that's a little complicated. Because when you have the general purpose membership deciding nuances, for instance, about crop insurance, or you have leadership people making decisions who may actually know nothing about the program, for instance, it gets a little bit unnerving. A long time ago, Ron, I told you one of my biggest challenges as an underclassman on this committee was, I am a farmer by trade. I have a degree in agricultural economics from Oklahoma State University. When I would listen to my colleagues in the old days in debate, and I'll use the phrase old days, it always horrified me because I knew better. Most of them didn't have the experience or the academic background to know any better. I knew better, and that's what caused me so much angst. And when I became ranking member and then chairman, why I worked so hard to apply the agricultural educational experiences that I've had at Oklahoma State, and everyone has an opportunity at land-grant universities to have, as well as my practical experience. My relatives all went through the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. My relatives went through the drought of the 1950s. I got home from college in time to watch the total meltdown, economic meltdown in the 1980s. My goal has always been to not repeat the mistakes that caused so many of these hardships. I can't do anything about the weather, but I can avoid the mistakes made in the 20s or in the 70s and early 80s that inflicted so much economic suffering on my neighbors. And I've tried hard.
Oklahoma's 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, who served as chairman of the House Agriculture Committee from 2011 to 2014, ranking member for 2 years before that, now a senior member of the House Ag Committee. And Frank indicates that he continues to have a lot of passion for making sure that things are done right on the committee to serve agriculture, not only in our state, but across the country as well. In our nation's capital, on the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.